Now let's open our Bibles together, please, in the book of Jonah in the chapter number 1. Jonah chapter 1, commencing to read at the verse number 1. And of course, as we have God's word open before us, we need to seek God's face in prayer and pray that God will bless us and that the Lord will speak to us even through his word. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thine infallible word. We pray that thou will bless it to our hearts. We thank thee that we're in thy house this morning, and we believe thy precious word, that thy word is indeed truth. And we pray that by thy Holy Spirit, that thou will take of thy word and write it upon our hearts. We thank thee for the witness of the Spirit of God. And we thank thee that when we come to thy word, that we hear thy voice, and the Spirit of God speaks to us and deals with our hearts. Father, sometimes you speak to our hearts and you bring us great encouragement when we need it. And, oh God, we thank thee for that. Sometimes, oh God, you bring the chastening rod when we need it. And, Lord, we thank thee for that. We pray today that we might hear thy voice. Whatever you would say to us, Lord, give us the courage and give us the grace to listen to what God would say to our hearts. And we pray that even this day, that those that are not saved will trust Jesus and stand upon thy word, and those that are backslidden will come back and stop wandering in the far meadows of the world. But Father, we pray that indeed that thou wilt bless your people and encourage them to keep going on. And so be with us and do us good for Jesus' sake and for his glory. Amen. The book of Jonah chapter 1, we're just going to read some verses, the first five verses of this passage of God's word. Jonah chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. And Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Went down to Joppa, and he paid a fare going to Tarsus. So he paid the fare thereof, or found a ship going to Tarsus, and he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarsus from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship and he lay and was fast asleep. Amen. And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his infallible truth for his name's sake. Amen. We've been looking at the book of Jonah, and in our meditations already, we have been seeking to look at the backcloth or the background of this book and seek to know just exactly where Jonah comes into the story. First of all, we think about the division of the book, and we have studied that, and I pray that you'll have that in the back of your mind, the division of this book, of just simply four chapters. And every chapter has a tremendous message for your heart. Then secondly, we looked at the disagreement over the book and how that some people challenge this book of Jonah. Of course, we pointed out that the devil hates the Bible and hates the book of God because it reveals unto us Jesus, the blessed Son of God. And Jonah would speak to us of the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the death and the burial and resurrection of Jesus. And the devil hates that message of the cross of Christ, because there the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins. And thank God he rose again because of our justification. Then thirdly, we noticed last Lord's Day the demonstration in the book. And we were considering some of the main thoughts, what the Word of God would speak to us and what the Word of God would teach us through this little book. And we notice that one of the great truths and one of the great thoughts of this book is the mercy of God. How merciful God is and how gracious God is gracious, and he is plenteous in mercy. Thank God he is a God who is ready to pardon. And then, of course, not only do we see the mercy of God, but in this book we see the sovereignty of God. And we see how that God sovereignly rules and overrules. Even when a man seeks to run away from the revealed will of God, how that God steps in and that God sovereignly moves. Friend, God is a sovereign God. There's nothing happening in this world today without God knowing about it. There's nothing happening in this world, but God is in control. Let me tell you, the devil thinks, and he tries to thwart the purpose and the plan of God, but God is sovereign today, and God is on the throne, and God is in control of the situation. And God accomplishes, even through Jonah, that which he did not at first desire to do. He tried to run away, and yet God stopped him, and God fulfilled his sovereign purpose. Very quickly, it also tells us and reminds us that when God tells us to do something, the only blessed way is to do it. The Bible that we sang this morning, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. And rather than running away from the will of God, it is important that we run to do the will of God. And so it tells us that we should do what God tells us to do. And then we should finally bring the message of the gospel even to those in distant lands, even to those that we do not like. It is important that men and women are reached with the gospel of Christ, and that the Lord can use the gospel, because it is the power of God. And Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And then, fourthly, we'll look at the direction of the book. You see, Jonah means dove. In the opening verse it says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai. Jonah means dove, and Amittai means truth. And so, if we are seeking the direction of the Lord, then I believe that even in these very names that we have a challenge, because the Bible tells us that we are to be as wise as serpents and we are to be as harmless as doves. Of course, the dove in the scripture, in the book of Matthew's Gospel in chapter 3, we have that wonderful story of the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Matthew 3 verse 16 it says, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and lo, he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, or as a dove, and lightning upon him. And we realize, therefore, that the dove is an emblem of the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you, Jonah's ministry, whenever he was walking in the will of God, was a ministry that was Spirit-anointed. It was a Spirit-filled ministry when he walked as God told him to walk, and as he preached as God told him to preach. And friend, it's imperative for you and me. The Bible says that we are to be filled with the Spirit. And if you and I want to serve the Lord, let me tell you this. We don't have to serve the Lord in our own weak way. We can serve the Lord with the endowment and the power of the Holy Ghost, because we need the blessed anointing of the Spirit of God. And of course, when we preach the Word of God, we preach the truth of God. He was the son of Amittai. And you and I, as those who are filled with the Spirit of God, if we're truly saved and walking with God, friend, you and I, we need to be children of truth. We need to be children of truth. It's of vital importance for God's child to be a child of truth. And of course, when we preach the truth, the Bible says the truth shall set you free. And when we preach the truth, we are to speak the truth in love. And when we look at this passage, this chapter, in the direction of the book, you'll notice in chapter 1 begins, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. Look at chapter 3, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. Look at chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord. Look at chapter 4. And displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry, and he prayed unto the Lord. Chapter 1 and 3 begins with the word of the Lord. Chapters 2 and 4 begin with prayer. And friend, I simply say to you this morning, I believe there's a message even in that. Because the direction, even through that, is an important direction for a child of God who truly wants to walk with God. We need balance. We need balance in our Christian life. We need the balance in our Christian lives. There is a place, and a vital important place, for the Word of God, and there is a vital important place for praying to the Lord, seeking the face of the Lord. There is the study of the Word, and there is the supplication before the throne. And both of those things are essential. If you want to be a vibrant Christian, you need to have that balance in your life. There ought to be that balance. Let me show you in the New Testament. Turn to Acts chapter 6 and the verse number 4. Acts chapter 6 and the verse number 4 says this. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Here we find that they're seeking out men that will look after the tables. But we find that indeed that the apostles are saying, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. There's a balance in their lives. The vital importance. Then go to verse number 6, it says, of that same chapter. Whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them, and the word of the Lord increased. They prayed, and the word of the Lord increased. They prayed before preaching. And so it's vital important, there's this balance. And in your life, and in my life, it is important to have the correct balance, that you and I realize the importance of the study of the word, to be students of the word, but that you and I realize the importance of supplication before the Lord and seeking the face of God. You know, before you open the Bible, that's why before we come to preach the word, we pray. That's not just formality. It's what I believe that we ought always to do. I believe that when you open your Bible, friend, the first thing you should do is you should pray. You say, oh God, I'm opening your book and I want you to speak to me. And friend, you ask God, you supplicate before his throne. And you say, God, I want to hear your voice. How many people come to the Bible and then they read a few verses and they set it down and say, I didn't get anything out of that. Because friend, you didn't supplicate the throne. You didn't ask God to speak to you. You just wanted to go through perhaps mechanically what a Christian ought to do. And therefore you think that it's just sufficient. Well, I'll read a few verses and satisfy my spirit, that I have done sufficiently enough to satisfy God. Friend, if you want God to speak to him or to speak to your heart, you need to speak to God. You need to seek him. You need to take his word and say, Lord, open your word to my heart. And friend, there needs to be the vital, important balance in your soul. Now, before we move on, and we're coming to verse number 1 in a moment or two, I want you to notice that chapter 1 is a word from God. Chapter 2, it is a word with God. In chapter 3, it is a word for God. And in chapter 4, it is a word about God. There's one last little thought I want you to leave with you before we just move on from our study. You will notice that this book opens and it ends with the Lord. And I believe, friend, that that's an important guide for you and me. Our day should begin and our day should end with the Lord. It says, now the word of the Lord, we find that indeed the Lord is there coming and speaking in chapter 1. And we find at the end, verses 10 and 11 of chapter 4, then said the Lord, and God is speaking. It opens with the Lord. It ends with the Lord. And how that we need to have that direction in our lives. Now when we come to the book of Jonah, I've already simply said to you with that backcloth, and I just reiterate once again, it's not the story of a man and a big fish. Friend, it is a man whom God has called and a great God. And a man that has, through painful experience, he regards or discovers the true character of God. It tells us of a man who hears the word of God. It tells us about a man who is confronted by the will of God. It tells us of a man who is given a consignment in the work of God. And how important that you and I should be a man who hears the word, a man or woman who hears the word of God, who is confronted by the will of God, and indeed is given a consignment even in the work of God. The word of God we should hear. The will of God we should know. And the work of God we should do. Now notice how the book begins. Verse number 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. I believe that that was a powerful word because it was the word of the Lord. It was a word of the sovereign. It was a word of command. Friend, the king speaking. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords is speaking. And as we gather around this book this morning, I want you to remember that as we come to study here. This is not simply a man standing in the pulpit and preaching. I want it to be today that the word of the Lord comes to your heart. I want the Spirit of God to take the word that we read this morning and that God will make it a powerful word that will come with power to your heart, that friend, that you'll want to hear what the sovereign has to say. I trust that that's why you've come to God's house. You want to hear what God's speaking and saying to your heart. Wonder if you come with a spirit of expectation, God speak to me. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah. Can you say this morning? The word of the Lord came unto me. It's a powerful word, but listen, it was a personal word. It came unto Jonah. And I trust indeed that the word of God will just come to your heart, that the word of God will come to my heart. I want God to speak to me this morning. I sought to study God's word for this service. But I want God to take of his word, and I want God to come personally to my heart. And I want God to come to me powerfully. Not only in power, but I want God to come and to really make me listen, that I might hear the command of the sovereign, that I might hear God speak. This is the king's word. And the king's business requires haste. You'll notice something else. It was not only a powerful word. It was not only a personal word. It was a prescriptive word. And it was a profitable word. Because what God's word comes on to Jonah, friend, to do is this. God comes to reveal his will through his word. Now what God said to Jonah, first of all, friend, wasn't long. Sometimes we think that we have got to talk to God long or we're not praying at all. Let me tell you, the man who prayed, Lord, save me, I perish, that is all was needed. And God answered his prayer and it says, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and God delivered him out of the belly of the sea. Friend, God is speaking and he's speaking straightforward. It's not long, but it's straightforward. And he is prescribing for Jonah his revealed will through his word. I believe that one of the most important things for every Christian is to seek to know the will of God. I believe that's a vital essential for your spirituality. And for your Christian experience and for your spiritual growth, friend, it is to know the will of God for you. to know the will of God for you. Because let me tell you this, when you know the will of God and you're doing the will of God, no matter how great the test, no matter how great the trial, no matter how great the difficulty, friend, let me tell you, you'll be able to stick at it because you know that you're in the will of God. You see, if a person doesn't know that they're in the will of God, friend, I'll tell you this, whenever the devil comes, and he surely will, and when he tosses you about in the sea, there's one thing that you'll have a problem with, and it's doubts and fears because you're not sure. And you see, the person that is double-minded, the Bible says that you're not to be a double-minded person. You've got to be a single-minded person, friend. There has got to be a single mind and a single thought in your heart, and that is to do the word, the will of God, what God tells you, then you must do it. But the first thing is you must know the will of God. You must seek the will of God. You must know the will of God for your life. And then you must follow it through. Because God's not revealing his will to you either to mock you, friend, and he doesn't want you to mock him. There are people who ask God for his will, friend, let me tell you. And when God reveals his will to them, they turn to God and they say, God, I don't want it. Why did you ask him if you didn't mean it? You know, God says we're to pay our vows. Don't you try and play loose with God, friend, because let me tell you, if you're asking God for his will and God reveals his will, it is important that you have one thing in your heart that follows it, and that is to follow through the will of God. No matter how difficult, no matter how hard, no matter how tough it's going is, you keep going because you know it is the will of God. Turn to the book of Romans chapter 12, that great chapter that many of you know this morning. And Paul, as he writes to the believers here at Rome, and he says, I beseech you. He's begging them. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. In other words, you put your life, you put your will, you put your everything upon the altar. I wonder this morning, are you holding back from God? Is there a compartment in your life, friend, that you're holding back from God? Paul's saying, I beseech you, it's the Holy Ghost through Paul. He says, I beseech you that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, total commitment. And then he says in verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect, what? Will of God. Friend, if you're wanting to prove what is that good and what is that acceptable and what is that perfect will of God, you must put yourself totally upon the altar. I was telling the young people last night when I was preaching and speaking about discipleship and what it means to truly follow the Lord. Luke's Gospel chapter 14, the Lord Jesus gives 5 images of what it really means to follow the Lord. But I was saying, you know, the little story or illustration is used that one day a congregation or people from a congregation were talking about the great need of their district because there were many poor and about feeding the poor. And they were talking about what they heard and the congregation and these people working on a farm. Standing in the barn, in the yard, and they were conversing together about how they really could meet the needs of the poor. And the old story is said that there was an old pig there and there was an old hen there, and the two were doubling around and they were listening to what the people were saying. They were talking about feeding the needy and the hungry. And of course, after the people went away, the story said that the old hen turned to the pig and she said, you know, did you hear what they said? And the pig said, yes, I did. You know, it's interesting, they want to feed the poor. Well, the old hen says, I was listening, you know, I was thinking about it, and I've got a solution. Because in actual fact, you know, if we could provide the eggs and the bacon, somebody could provide the bread, and we'd have everybody fed. Of course, they thought about it a wee while, and the Pig says, I'll think about that. And then he came back a wee while and he said to the old hen, he says, you know, there's a problem with what you've suggested. He says, why? What's the problem? Well, of course, the pig says, well, you talked about providing the eggs and the bacon. He says, listen, for you to provide the eggs, it's only a contribution. For me to provide the bacon, it's a total commitment. You see, friends, it's easy to have just to make a contribution. But it's different to put your body on the altar and make the total commitment. I believe there's people here this morning, and let me tell you, you're happy enough to make a contribution. But I say before God, listen, if you want to know what is that good and what is that acceptable and what is that perfect will of God, it's not a contribution you've got to make, it's total commitment. Are we out and out for Christ today? Is he the sole king and head of the church? Is he the one, my friend, that's guiding and leading in your heart and lives? And so we find here that Paul is writing. Turn to the book of Colossians just for a moment, to chapter 1. Little book of Colossians and the chapter 1. Look down in chapter 1 to verse number 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, and that ye might walk worthy. Friend, listen, they were praying for the Colossian believers, and they were asking God, listen, he says, we don't cease to pray, we desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of the will of God. Listen, there's people today and they're not lacking in knowledge. But they forget the next verse. He says, we're also praying that not only that you have the knowledge of the will of God and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, but that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful unto every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. You see, the two go together. And as we study this book of Jonah, friend, let me tell you this. God speaks to Jonah, and he does something to Jonah. He reveals his will to Joshua. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah and said unto him. Friend, let me tell you, Jonah should have been excited. God has given me an assignment. God has told me what I've got to do. You see, it's one thing to fail to know the will of God and thereby miss it. And there are people today and they fail to know the will of God, friend, and therefore they miss the will of God for their lives. Maybe they miss it because they fail to know it because they haven't asked the Lord for it. They haven't asked God really for his will. But it's one thing to fail to know the will of God and thereby miss it. But it's a completely different thing to know God's will and refuse to do it. And sad to say, there are those that do know the will of God, friend. But let me tell you, for reasons that they know best, they refuse to do it. You see, the emphasis in the book is not the will prepared by God. It is the will of God. That's the emphasis in the book. It's the will of God. And friend, the other emphasis in the book, it's not the storm. It's the soul winning. Oh, it's amazing how many people just go to the book and they'll talk about the storm and they'll talk about the whale, but they never really understand. That's not what the book's about. It's not the whale, it's the will. It's not the storm, it's soul winning. And friend, if you miss the will of God in this book, and if you miss the soul winning in this book, I'll tell you, you've missed the book. And as we study, the Word of God here identifies a prophet who has heard from God about his will, but who runs away from the will of God. You know, the real backcloth and background of this whole book is the will of God through his prophet was nothing more or less the grace of God and the mercy of God that was offered to sinners. That's what God was doing. This was what God was wanting. He was offering salvation to sinners. But he was using a prophet. He was using his servant. Who else would he use? Who else would God want to use in such circumstances? Surely it's God's prophet that wants to bring the message of salvation to poor lost sinners. When I read that verse 1, it says, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. Friend, I believe that this was an honor here. There is no greater honor than God to speak to your heart. I don't know how it actually happened. Word of God doesn't reveal that, but it did. You know, God reveals his will. The Bible tells us in these last days, he speaks to us through his Son. And I believe that God has spoken fully and God has spoken finally through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But he speaks to our hearts through his word. In 1 Thessalonians and the chapter 2 and the verse number 13 it says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men. Now this is important, friend. Ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. And when as I stand and I open this book before you this morning, I earnestly pray that you will receive the word today, not as the word of men. Not as simply the word of a man standing in the pulpit and preaching today, but as in truth it is the word of God. What a privilege. What an honor. For God to ordain to speak to you and me through his word. And friend, when he does, don't you ever waste precious time on lesser things. But listen to God's word and be willing to do it. We're going to finish this morning with this thought. First of all, I want to take some little, you know, we do in sermons, we take little titles and we use them as little hooks to hang the message on. First of all, and with this I'm closing this morning, notice the instruction here. Verse number 2. What did God say to Jonah to do? Message of verse, I said it was a short message, and so it was. He said, listen, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Now that was all God said, friend. That's what God said. Nothing complicated about that. The instruction which God gives is a very definite instruction. In other words, listen to me carefully as we close. God had a definite plan for Jonah, and he revealed his will, what that plan was. Isn't it good that God has got something for us to do? When the Bible says, occupy till I come. Let me ask you, what are you doing for God, friend, as you wait the coming of Jesus? What are you doing for God? What have you done for God last week? What do you do for the Lord? You profess his name. You say he's yours. You say he's precious. You say you love him. What have you done for God last week? How have you really served the Lord last week? God had something for his child to do. But friend, let me tell you, whenever God revealed his will to Jonah, it shook him. It shook Jonah to the very core that Jonah wanted to get up and Jonah wanted to do something. But friend, it wasn't wanting to do what God wanted him to do. He wanted to run from God. Is that what you're doing? Let me ask you, are you running for God or are you running from God? honestly sum up last week. The week that has passed, we're coming into a new week, friend. Let me ask you, have you been running from God or you've been running for God? Have you been out of breath for the Lord? Have you been seeking to win souls for Christ? Have you been seeking to tell people about Jesus? Friend, if you say you love Him, you want people to know that you love Him. Young man who loves a young woman, I'll tell you this, he doesn't want to hide in the corner. He is so pleased. He loves her. And so we review our own lives and we ask ourselves this question. What have we done? Or is what God has revealed to you to do, friend, what God has set for you to do, is it honest? Do you not really want to do? Let's go down to chapter 3 very quickly. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah and said him the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid you. Friend, that's all you have to do. Do God's bidding. That's all God asks you to do. Do what He wants you to do. And God says, I want you to arise and I want you to go to it. I want you to preach. I want you to preach. I want you to cry. I want you to cry against it because its wickedness has come up before me. So it says, verse 3 of chapter 3. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. What's the history of Nineveh? Nineveh was a city that was founded by Nimrod. We're going to come back to this next Lord's Day, because why did it shake Jonah so much, friend, that he was absolutely shaking whenever he heard what God said? It really shook him to the core. Nineveh was a city that was founded by Nimrod. You'll find that over in the book of Genesis and the chapter 10. And Nineveh became the capital city of the Assyrian Empire. It was located on the banks of the Tigris River. It's what we know in today as Iraq. It's back in the news, isn't it? And yet we find that it was in God's news way back in Genesis 10. It was about 500 to 600 miles away from where Jonah was, and God says, I want you to go there. And I want you to go to that city. It's a great city. My friend, listen, we're not going into the greatness of it today. We'll come and start that next Lord's Day. But let me say this to you. Maybe what God has asked you to do, friend, isn't great in the eyes of men. But I'll tell you this, if it's God's will for you, there is nothing small in the will of God. Little is much when God's in it. And you might be called of God to hand out a gospel tract. You might be called of God to sit on a bus for a children's meeting. And you may never stand in a pulpit or ever say a word publicly. You may do something, and perhaps as far as man is concerned, they may never know that you exist or that you've ever done it, because you're in the background. But you see, when it's the will of God, it's that good. It's that acceptable. It's that perfect. Do you know why it's acceptable? Do you know why it's good? Do you know why it's perfect? Simply this, friend. Because it's what God has asked you to do. And it mightn't be acceptable as far as the world is concerned, but let me tell you, you'll hear the well done, thou good and faithful servant. Why? Because you did what He asked you to do. Sinner today, in God's name, come to Christ. That's what he asks you. He says, come unto me. And he says, him that cometh to me, he says, I will in no wise cast you out. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, bless your word this morning. Just write it upon our hearts today and help us to go forward from your service and from your house and into your service this week. And help us to be different from last week. Help us to be a week of genuine service. Help us to be a week, Lord, when we're on fire for thee, that we're running for Jesus. That not one man or woman, young person in this service this morning who professes to love you, professes to know you. Oh God, we pray in Jesus' name that we might seek your will, that we might do your will. They'll be out of breath for Jesus. We pray this not for our sakes or for even the reward in the end of the journey, but we pray this for thy glory, for Jesus' sake. Amen.